Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge. Welcome back to the show. Gift of the Givers yesterday held a press briefing with Victoria Gustafsson, the sister of Johan Gustafsson, about the headway in the long-running saga of two hostages, a South African and a Swedish national, who were captured by Al-Qaeda in Mali in 2011. The Gift of the Givers has been working on the matter involving South African Stephen McGowan and Swede Johan Gustafsson and have made contact with Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb. But there has been no breakthrough as yet. Today we speak to Victoria Gustafsson, who has been visiting South Africa as a guest of Gift of the Givers. So Victoria, welcome to Voice of the Cape Drive Time.
Thank you so much.
It must be a difficult journey. Johan has now been in captivity for nearly 5 years. That's a long time, isn't it?
It's a very long time. It's unbelievably long. Like, both Johan and Stephen are the ones that's been kidnapped the longest in both countries. Nobody's ever been kidnapped this long, ever, in Sweden.
This is a matter of interest. What were they doing in Mali? I believe they were just traveling through the country and they were in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yes, you're right. They are both traveling via motorcycle from the north of Africa down, and they were going, both the destinations were in South Africa. They didn't know each other from the beginning, but the road travel there is like a beaten track. Everybody who drives or rides motorcycle through Africa, that side, travels the same way, and you meet the same people along the way, you know. So for this last stretch, Stephen's travel mate and Johan's travel mate had decided to go another way. So they were in Timbuktu the day before. And Stephen and Johan and their group they were traveling with were taking it a little bit more slow. So they ended up in Timbuktu the day after, and the same day everything happened.
Yeah, it's very sad, isn't it? Now, have you been able to have any contact with Johan since he has been in captivity? I know the Gift of the Givers has had contact with Akim. But have you as a family been able to even have a few words, a conversation?
No.
Nothing at all?
Nothing whatsoever. We have, in the beginning, you know that they were kidnapped in the 25th of November 2011. At that stage, Mali was one of the more stable democracies in Africa, actually. And the whole country just crumbled within 6 months. But on one of the first few photos we got to see, a few months after, we could actually see them carrying backpacks that we sent with items. And they just showed up this letter with letters from us. But that's the only time I believe that they have received anything, what we have sent. After that, you know, everything happened in Mali, the military coup, the Tuareg coup was blindsided by the Islamists. Everything turned into big chaos. And obviously, two kidnapped people are not there on the top of the agenda when the whole country is crumbling. So so after that, it's been very scarce with proof of life. And also after that, we have never seen that they have received any of our messages.
Now, of interest, I mean, one or two photographs available. It is reassuring in a sense that they do look healthy. I suppose that's the only way to put it. They've got long beards, and they obviously are wearing some other clothes. But it does seem as if they have survived and they look reasonably healthy. Do those pictures, are they reassuring to you? At least you've been able to see him.
No, absolutely. They seem to be good, you know. What I've said, I'm not sure if I'm using the right words in English here now, but like I can see my brother's eyes are the same.
Uh-huh.
You know, the same strong look, you know. But also we have seen them looking weaker, but health-wise, it looks fine. But also we know by this time, you know, you acquire these weird knowledge of stuff that you ever would believe. But so we have kind of good knowledge about the terror groups in the region. And this particular group has like an honor codex to treat their prisoners well. They are like an investment for the future, more or less, you know. And so everything we heard also from people who've been held by the same group and been released have also said, like, you know, we are treated well.
It's ironic, to use another English word, isn't it, that this is the case? It's almost like they like sheep being fattened for something. It's horrible,
yeah.
in that sense.
I think before 2011, there were a few kidnappings, and they had kind of gotten into a routine. This war in Mali disrupted everything, and all the rules are completely new. There's no old ways of doing it. Everything has to be invented again. but they seem to have all the time in the world. And the problem is now, like, you know, you're not in touch by phone or mail or anything like that. Everything takes forever. It's weeks to get a message to one place, weeks to get messages back. That takes a long time. But also, it has been the case before that the government has paid, and quite generously, also for people who have been held by, who have been worked for big companies where they had an insurance, who has paid like tens of millions of euros, you know. Obviously, they're expecting more, but the government has agreed on not pay ransom. I also think that this is not the way to go. The problem is, in this case, it's my brother Stephen who is a guinea pig, you know.
Yes, absolutely.
I have a personal connection to this. I want my brother to be free, but also there is a mixed feeling to giving money to them, obviously. But we don't have it. I'm a nurse. My dad is a nurse. My sister is a teacher. And, you know, we are not having means like that. Even near, even if it sold all our items, we can never pay this. So in a moment when we were very, very tired, both McGowan and us, and we could not come up with any more ideas, and we realized that the government was stuck. Impius coming in to the scene was a blessing, to be honest, and he's independent. He doesn't have to think about the government and relations in between them and stuff like that. So we are very happy to have him helping us, because we were very lost and very frustrated.
In fact, one thing that I know, and I've dealt with Dr. Imtiaz a lot over the years. In fact, I even wrote a book about Gift to the Givers. He is. In fact, you must ask him to give you a copy of the book. How's that for a free?
No, we have received it. Thank you.
Right. Okay.
directly from him, actually.
But
thank you.
No problem. But I mean, but the interesting thing about how Dr. Imtiaz works in these situations, he had experience in Yemen, is that he doesn't give a person false hope, and I've seen him do it a lot of times. He's very honest with you, but he doesn't give up trying. I mean, this is one man who will not give up, but as he's even told us on the radio station, we just have to take it day by day and be patient, because one just doesn't know what's going to happen the next day. And we're dealing with people who don't use cell phones. If they use cell phones, they're going to get shot by a drone. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of things to consider. But of course, from your side, our side, it makes it very frustrating, doesn't it?
Yeah. If there's something we know what to do, it is waiting. We are very good at that, I must say. And I guess at this stage, we all have our emotions restrained a bit. Like, you know, you don't really, if somebody comes and say that, oh, it's looking good, you know. I have a complete different definition of looking good. For me, looking good only has one meaning, and that is that my brother is physically on a plane home.
No, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Do you think that also part of this problem is that a lot of these organizations seem to think that every single foreigner who comes to their part of the world is that dollars are bulging out of their pockets? Realizing that most travelers are in fact budget, because none of us have jobs where we earn millions. It's only the governments that have got the money, and governments increasingly are not going to pay ransom money. So unfortunately, yeah. It seems as if sort of hostages in this situation are in an extremely difficult position that the Akim just simply doesn't seem to understand that there is no money.
No, the thing is, I guess they're coming to terms with it because it has taken a long time. Like, if they haven't received that money that they wanted to by this time, yeah, there probably is no money. But, like, I think it's very hard for anyone who lives in the northern Mali or places like that to even relate to somebody that comes traveling through. Like, if I would meet my brother now, I would make sure to tell him, you know, I don't think he did the wrong thing. I would never think that. He had bad luck. And I still believe, like I did before, and like he does, that the world is here to be discovered, and that is how we get to know each other, and that's how we can build bridges between each other. And I mean, like, so, but I guess it's hard for somebody who has nothing to believe that somebody who comes driving just for fun doesn't have lots of money, you know? But we have different priorities in our lives, you know?
No, absolutely. And of course, I mean, people who would travel to a place like Mali is not your normal kind of tourist. As you say, it's people who are curious, people who, in fact, want to meet and interact with other human beings. You know, that is part of the traveling process, is, in fact, meeting people. It's not about money. It's about human values, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
Do you find a lot of solace, a lot of comfort with the McGowan family? Because obviously your family, the Gustafsons and the McGowans, have something in common. At least there's something that you can share and sort of hopefully makes the load just a little bit easier.
You know what? That is absolutely true. I consider them my South African family now. It's like, when I meet them, it's not very often. This is the third time I meet them. There's no need to explain anything, you know?
Yes.
We do feel the same. And we can also, the good thing, I am very happy that we are, the two families are together in this. Because we have been able to push each other and support each other and, also been able to question things because we have sometimes received different information, you know? And what's the point in that, you know? So we have become quite a strong unit, I would say. And we are family now. Yeah, forever, I would say. Yeah.
Do you think it's important that you do interviews like this? Because what Dr. Suleiman has said from the Yemen experience, although these movements are far out in the desert, they do watch the media very closely because they are very conscious of what people might be saying about each other, and they obviously are looking to see whether governments are responding, whether money or bounty is going to be paid, that it's very important that maybe, we don't know, that somebody could listen to this interview, to some of the other ones you've done, some of the television appearances you've done, and the message might get across to these people, but hang on a minute, they are telling the truth. They don't have money, and that this is a humanitarian question first and foremost, and that these two men need to come home.
Yeah, you're right. We were not, either of the families were very much in the media in the beginning. We followed all the instructions, but also, like, you know, believe it, I could never believe that I would be, okay, I'm not really media trained, but I know what to say and what not to say for sure. But honestly, also, there's not really anything to hide anymore. This is actually the case. There is not a gold mine to find in my brother and Stephen, and it is two innocent people that are held hostage. And also, another thing I want to say about this, like having Gift of the Givers coming in, because they obviously, like the Muslim minority in South Africa right now, and the Muslim community in the world in general are facing hard times now. You know, where everybody's labeled to be terrorists, but that's what we want to say. Also, you know, like we as Christian families have actually been approached by this Muslim organization, who in general are a humanitarian organization, actually, and They are painting their religion in a bad colors if they want to. That's what I want to say. Like they are. It's too much now with the kidnapping.
No, absolutely.
Too much of giving Islam a bad name internationally.
Indeed. Victoria, we're going to have to leave it there. We've been talking to Victoria Gustafsson. She's the sister of Johan Gustafsson, and also with him, Stephen McGowan, a South African and a Swede. They have been in captivity with Aqim, Al-Qaeda in the Maghrib, since 2011. And Gift to the Givers trying as hard as possible to negotiate with Aqim to get the two men free. The message needs to go out. There's no money in South Africa. There's no money in Sweden. But these two men, they need to get home as soon as possible. They've been in captivity for nearly 5 years. It's high time that they were on an aeroplane going to Sweden and going to South Africa. Victoria Gustafsson, enjoy the rest of your visit to South Africa. Everything of the best. The prayers, not only of the Muslim community of South Africa, but of everybody, are with you. We're all behind you.
Thanks a million. Thank you so much.
Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.